Our scripture reading is found in Psalm 103. I'm going to read the first five verses, and then later on in the sermon I'll read further in this psalm, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. In 1640, John Calvin began using the image of a heart in a hand as a seal to seal his letters. And there's a copy of that seal in your bulletin on the page with the outline of the sermon. 2 years after his death, the phrase promptly and sincerely was added to the seal to give us some idea of what Calvin was trying to say in this seal. And much later, a full interpretation of the seal was given to us through these words: my heart I give you, Lord, promptly and sincerely. In the seal, it's the picture of a hand holding a heart being offered to God. And that truly typified the life of John Calvin and his service for the Church of Jesus Christ. Our church is so much richer because of this man's love for the Lord and the Bible and the work of Christ's kingdom. Another person of whom it may be said that he gave his heart to the Lord promptly and sincerely is the author of the psalm that we are studying today, Psalm 103, King David. And we see it in those opening verse of the psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We're going to study this beautiful psalm together by way of 3 points that are printed in your bulletin. Bless the Lord's holy name. Point number one. Number two, remember all the Lord's benefits. And three, bless the Lord with all your heart. Beginning with number one, bless the Lord's holy name. You'll notice that in this psalm, David is speaking to God in a very personal way and speaking to himself in a very personal way about God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's telling his soul to bless the Lord, and to bless the Lord in a specific way, bless his holy name. He forms the idea of his God according to the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord for who he is basically what David is saying. In the Bible, a person's name carried a lot of weight. We may give our children names because we like the way the word sounds, or we name them after a relative or somebody we like. My name is Cornelius because I was named after my grandmother Cornelia. Abram's name was changed to Abraham, father of multitudes. Pharaoh's daughter called the child Moses because she Moses'd him out of the Nile. She drew him, lifted him up out of the Nile. The name Jesus means salvation because he shall save his people from their sins. And we all know what Lord means. Designate someone who is a ruler over others. When Moses was to take the word of God into Egypt and demand the release of Israel so that they might serve him at Mount Sinai, Moses wondered what would the Israelites say when Moses came there, who is this God you're representing? And so he said to the Lord, tell me what your name is. And in chapter 3, verse 14 of Exodus, the Lord tells Moses that his name is Yahweh, I am that I am. Say to the Lord, say to the children of Israel that the Lord has sent you to bring you out of Egypt, been sent to you to bring you up out of Egypt. He is the Lord, the sovereign God, Lord over all, who has determined to be gracious and loving to Israel because he is a God of love. We might take a quick look at the development of that name in the book of Exodus. You remember that after Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and the Israelites pledged that they would not make any graven images, no sooner did Moses go back up into the mountain, but they did what they had pledged they would not do, and they made the image of the calf out of gold. It was a serious sin, and God said, I will destroy you and start a new people out of the offspring of Moses. The people repented when they saw the wrath of God revealed in their midst, and Moses began to plead with the people, with the Lord, that the Lord would not destroy them. And the Lord said, no, he would not destroy them, because he would be merciful to whom he would be merciful and show compassion on those with whom he would show compassion. How will I know that that is true? Moses said to God. Show me your glory. And the glory, and the Lord went and showed the glory of himself and what his name stands for in the 34th chapter of Exodus, verses 6 and 7. Let me read that section of Exodus for you quickly. Beginning at verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, that is Moses, there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses responded by bowing in adoration before God. God revealed to Moses his attribute of love and justice. That's what he stood for. That's what his name stands for. This is the very heart of who God is and why he is doing for Israel what he is doing for Israel. And from this point on in the history of God's people, they held God to that definition of himself. It became the heart of their religion. It became the heart of their life before God. It energized their spiritual ideas of God, their spiritual lives. And the Bible is full of examples. It's loaded with examples. It colors the Bible, really, the truth about who the Lord is. The Lord of steadfast love, who forgives sin, but will not let the guilty go unpunished. We bless God according to his name, as we saw in the top verse of our text. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love. The psalmist in Psalm 34:31 sings, we are blessed ourselves by God according to his name. The great blessing that Aaron was to put on the people in Numbers 6, beginning at verse 27, we read, the Lord. Notice it is the Lord speaking to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, thus you shall bless the people of the Lord. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall you put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. We pray according to the name of the Lord. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The psalmist encourages us to worship in the name of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Moses called the people to repent, and our repentance is informed by who the Lord is. The Lord will turn his fierce anger from you and show his mercy and have compassion on you, and we rely on the Lord of love and compassion as we confess our sin. When the Lord withheld his love and compassion, Israel suffered and went into exile for her sin. In Jeremiah we read, thus says the Lord, I have taken away my peace from this people, my steadfast love and mercy. And when the Lord returned again with steadfast mercy and love to them, they found deliverance and were restored to Jerusalem. Behold, I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have compassion on his dwellings, says the Lord. And all our future hope is rested on the reality of the name of the Lord. Isaiah said, for the mountains will depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love will not depart from you, and my covenant peace shall not be removed, said the Lord, who has compassion on you, the Lord who has compassion on you. Be faithful. Then James tells us, be patient until the coming of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have seen the purposes of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. See how that reality of the Lord that he made known to his people in Exodus 34 determines so much of their spiritual lives and of our spiritual lives. It is good for us to keep this in mind as we lead a godly life before the Lord, how we live, how we pray, how we worship, as we come to him and confess our sin and repent. Indeed, Exodus 34 becomes a model of how we live. Jesus said, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Bless the Lord. David says to us then, bless the Lord. How does someone bless the Lord? The Lord who is all blessed in himself. How does a person bless the Lord? To bless someone is to seek the good of that person. To think good things about that person. To say good things about that person. To do the things that would bless that person. Bless the Lord. Do his will. Forget not all his benefits. Remember his goodness to you, David tells us. A little girl was walking with her father one dark night, looking up at the sky. She said, Daddy, I'm going to count the stars. 1, 2, 3, 4. She didn't get very far, and she said, Daddy, there are so many. I remember the song we sang years ago when I was a boy. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. See what God has done. Beyond our understanding is the goodness of our God. Bless the Lord, my friends, and forget not all his benefits. Seek to be a blessing to the Lord day by day. Brings us to point number 2. Remember the Lord's benefits. When you were baptized, your pastor put the name of God on you, the name of the Father and the Holy and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all kinds of wonderful blessings and benefits came to you as a child of the covenant of God. The name of the Lord fits the way we relate to Him, and all the benefits of salvation that are anchored in His name. David lists those benefits, and I'm going to read on now in Psalm 103, where he begins to talk about the benefit which is his, as he reminds himself, live a life of blessing to the Lord. The Lord, this is verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He remembers His justice. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He remembers Exodus 34. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sin. Praise God for that. Nor repay us according to our iniquity. For as high as the heavens is above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. A love without end. A love that will not let us go. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. He forgives, truly forgives us of our sin. As a father shows compassion to his children, the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He remembers that we are those who live under the curse of Adam. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. The terrible judgment that rests upon us as children of Adam. For as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and his place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is everlasting to everlasting to those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. Oh, we have all the reason in the world to bless the Lord. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. So David remembers the mercies of God in forgiving his sin. Like David, we have committed serious sin. In Psalm 51, David remembers his sin. My sin is ever before me. Have mercy on me, O God, according to Your loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions, he cries out to God, as he remembers the steadfast love of God. As he repents and confesses his sin and has assurance of forgiveness. Even as the Lord was merciful and compassionate to David, He is loving and compassionate to us today. We who have seen the full measure of God's compassion in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who so loved Israel that He forgave his sin and did not destroy them at the foot of the burning Mount Sinai. So loved David that He didn't destroy David. Because of His love for us, He forgives our sin and rescues us from the grave and crowns our lives with love and everlasting mercy. If David had reason to bless the Lord, on the basis of the promises that were his at that time in Revelation history, how much more do we enjoy the fulfillment of the heart of those promises that he talks about in that psalm? Listen to Paul as he gives us the Christian reason for blessing the Lord. In the New Testament, we find an update of Psalm 103 in the first chapter of Ephesians, reading Ephesians, beginning at verse 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." What are those blessings? He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Amazing grace. That we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love. In love what? He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. To the praise of His glorious what? Grace. With which He has blessed us in the Beloved, in His own Son who died for us, my friends. In Him we have what? Redemption through His blood. What does that mean? The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. What a difference it makes for us as born-again Christians to read the Psalms. As those who have been made a new creation in Christ to read those verses. You can see how Paul desires to bless the Lord for that benefit which we have in Christ of forgiveness of sin and assurance of eternal life. Making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ may be to the praise of His glory. He goes on there to pray for the church, the heirs of Christ and the wonderful promises that are ours in Jesus Christ, who rose from the grave, the first fruits of all who sleep in Him. Yes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, my dear friends, forget not all His benefits. Brings us to point number three. Bless the Lord with all your heart and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. How far did God go in His love for us? He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. To die for us. That the Lord should die and bear the agony of the cross. We saw how David in this psalm rehearses the idea of the curse is upon us in Adam of death. So also Paul, for as in Adam all die. But he reviews as well in this psalm the eternity of God, that there is such a thing as eternal life in the Lord. Is there a hope in David of escape from dust? Yes, I believe that is what he's crying out for in that psalm. You do forgive sin, and if you forgive sin, that lifts the curse of death and destruction to dust. And so with Paul we read, as in Adam all die, so in Christ what shall all be made alive. We can claim eternal life in the promise of Jesus Christ, who said, "He who believes has everlasting life." Yes, how special it is to read the Scriptures as someone who has been made alive in Jesus Christ, who has the assurance of the forgiveness of sin and rescue from death and destruction. Forgiveness based not on any good in us, but on the basis of the absolute perfection of Jesus Christ, who took our sin and has given us His righteousness to stand before God as clean in Christ. Praise God. He knows that we are dust, that we live under the curse of Adam. God knows that. and has done something wonderful in rescuing us from death in Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, my friends, forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins, who redeems you from destruction. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What does it mean to bless or to receive a blessing? This week we read a prayer request from our missionary in Uruguay, Ray Call. God has surely blessed us, he writes, and we are growing in faith and in our mission too. Reach out with the gospel. Please pray that the Lord will bless our ministry and the power of His Spirit and grant us open doors in Uruguay. Blessed by the Lord. Bless the Lord and seek His blessing. We rehearsed earlier what it means to bless the Lord. Think about Him. Recognize His holiness and keep that in mind. Constantly rehearsing in your mind what the Lord has done for you and is doing in your world around you. Remember the Lord and His benefits as you turn to Him in prayer, as you talk about the Lord to others. Praise Him day by day. I will extol the Lord in all times, we read in Psalm 34. His praise will always be on my lips, extolling the Lord and praising the Lord in our speech day by day. Talk about the good things of the Lord, just as David does in this psalm. As you counsel yourself and you teach your children and you behave with the people at work around you and you speak to them of the Lord's blessing and of His help in your life and how He has redeemed you from dust. Do what pleases the Lord. To love the Lord with all your heart and soul and strength, and to remember the commandment of Christ to love one another as He has loved us. To be engaged in loving Him and loving others. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, to do His will and what He has told us we ought to do. In our speech, a quiet word turns away anger, the writer of Proverbs reminds us. And to do in love, according to 1 Corinthians 13, patient and kind, not arrogant or rude, not to insist on our own ways, but to do unto others as we would have others do unto you. Blessing the Lord by turning from evil and do good. Blessing the Lord by taking seriously in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. You may want to review Psalm 103 in your personal devotions and also Ephesians 1. And may you rise from that reading to say with John Calvin, my heart I give you, Lord, promptly and sincerely. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the counsel that your Spirit gave to David and which he shares with us in this psalm and Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. May we, O Lord, always rejoice in the salvation which is ours in Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from dust and brought us to life everlasting. Grant this, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.